Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition Saturday morning office hours. How's everybody doing? Can you guys hear me okay? Everything going good with the sound? Yes, awesome. Thank you, Patricia. All right. This is kind of fun, right? Saturday morning office hours. All right. I think I'm set. All right, so here's how this works. Excuse me. Dang. So here's how this works. I know that you guys are used to seeing Corinne for Q&As on Saturday morning. So if you have questions that you were hoping to get answered in the Facebook group and you're over here, go ahead and populate that Q&A because I will take the time to make sure that all the questions are answered today as well. Okay? Nice to see you too, Heather. If you want coaching, that's why we're here, y'all. We didn't do Thursday evening because the team was all together here in Nashville to have our quarterly team meeting. So we moved office hours to today. And because I'm local, I work the day after because everyone else travels. So that's why you have me. That's all the goods, right? So if you want coaching, be sure to raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, that's great. Use the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees, okay? Just so everyone can see what you're talking about. All right. So we got a couple of hands raised, so let's roll. Let's see who we got here today. I'm hoping y'all keep me good and busy today since this is a different time. So Heather, and then Joni, and then Jennifer. Let's see. Where did Heather go? Heather, did you mean to raise your hand? I guess she took her hand down. All right. I did not. Okay. That's no problem. That's actually a good thing because I don't want to promote someone to panelist and put them on screen who's not ready to be on screen. So that's great. All right, Jenny, you're first. Let's get you up and rolling here. Oh, hello. Perfect. Hello, how are you?
I am freaked out, but other than that, I'm good.
You're what? Freaked out?
I am freaked out.
Why?
So I got a health scare the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure's been dropping and I've been feeling like I'm going to pass out. Went to my doctor Thursday. He did labs, got the results on Friday. And I need to see a cardiologist.
Okay.
I went ahead and made the appointment because I'm controlling and didn't want to wait for the referral.
Okay.
But the earliest I can get in is October 19th.
Okay.
I am, so I need to not eat the fear between now and October 19th when I can see a cardiologist to find out if the heart disease that runs very strongly in my family is coming on me, I guess.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because eating the fear is not going to help you, right?
It's really not. And that's right. Not the best way to take care of the heart. But yeah.
Well, and actually indulging in the fear and predicting the future is not a great way to take care of your heart either.
Right.
Right. But being calm about, that's interesting. Allowing the feelings to be there without stressing over them is a great way to take care of yourself because that's where you kind of pause that overeating model at the feelings line and you actually see, you know, what you're feeling and you can work on it. Okay, so here's what that looks like. Let me get my little board here. If we talk about think, feel, do, you know, that middle part of the model that Corinne is focusing on these days that is such a great way to focus. What we have is a cardiologist appointment on 10/19. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And your thought about that is?
My thought about that is, well, I did some journaling on it this morning, and my thought about it is this shouldn't be happening to me.
It shouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my big thought. I just ran a half marathon in May. I lost over 100 pounds. I've been doing all the things to take care of myself, and it's,
yeah.
And I've been doing them for the last 5 years because of a heart scare then, mm-hmm. with high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. When you think this shouldn't be happening to me, you have all these reasons this shouldn't be happening to me. So this is like the belief that's given you all those thought babies. I just ran a marathon. I've had another scare. I've lost 100 pounds. You know, this shouldn't be happening to me, right?
Scared, but also kind of indignant and angry, I think.
Right. Which one is the strongest one?
Honestly, I think I keep going back and forth between scared and angry.
Okay. This sounds like an angry feeling to me. I mean, an angry thought.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yes.
And when you're angry, you start giving all the reasons why this shouldn't be happening to me. The fear kind of has you
I lost audio on you for a second.
Oh, well, let me know if it goes out again, because this mic is kind of, I love this mic, but it's touchy. Is it still, am I back?
You're back.
Okay.
I think it may have been my internet also.
Okay. All right. So when you're angry, tell me what you do when you're angry about this.
I eat the entire pint of ice cream from the carton.
Right. Eat. Anything else?
I quit taking care of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. None of those things are really going to help you with this cardiologist appointment.
No, they're not.
So here's the really, really important thing I want to make sure you and everybody else sees about what we just wrote out here. You're not angry because of this appointment and because of this health, what you're calling it. I'm going to give to you health scare. Although mm-hmm. that's kind of a thought, you know. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm just going to give it to you because you have an appointment and you have a diagnosis and you have a family history and all that. You're not angry because of that. You're angry because of your thought, this shouldn't be happening to me. Okay? Someone else with that family history who has an appointment might think, okay, I had a feeling sometime in my life I would have to monitor this. Thank goodness the doctors found it and I'm getting some care and, you know, whatever. They might have a totally different perspective on the whole health and cardiologist appointment, right? It's kind of like a person who, I'll use myself as an example. I have had many mammograms. Many diagnostic mammograms. I've had cysts aspirated. I've had, you know, stuff removed. I've had all the things. And I find calm in thinking, thank goodness I'm smart enough to catch these things early. And my doctors and radiologists and everybody, my whole team is aware enough of what goes on in my body to help me, you know, to help mm-hmm. me take care of this. I could be totally pissed off and freaked out and scared and everything else every time I go to a mammogram. I'm just not anymore. I've done it so many times. I'm like, well, if there's something there, I know how to handle it. Right? So your thought, this shouldn't be happening to me, this little sentence right here that feels so true is what's creating all this fear and indignation and probably some resentment and some anger and all the things. Okay. So it's really important that everybody sees this. It's not because there's a family history and there's an appointment. Okay.
Right.
So you get that, right?
I do get that.
Okay. So in order to not eat because you're angry, what do you think you need to do with this feeling? I think you need to do with it.
Probably should try to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because tell me how feeling angry feels in your body.
Honestly, I don't know. I am right. I have a history of not feeling anger very well and turning it inward and into depression.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you feeling right now?
Mostly kind of nervous.
Nervous? Is that tell me how that feels in your body.
My throat feels a little wonky, mm-hmm. tight. My eye muscles are, the eyes are tighter than normal. My jaw is a little clenched. Mm-hmm. Wringing my hands right below the camera.
Yeah. How about your chest, your shoulders? Are your shoulders tensed? Back. Yeah. Kind of hunched over, or are you kind of just all tensed up?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your heart beating?
It is, but it's a little faster than it probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would be at calm.
Yeah. Posture's probably not great. Right.
Wasn't until you mentioned it, and then I straightened back up.
Yeah, but this is all super important, because a feeling, nervous or anything else, all it is a physical response to a thought. Okay? I mean, that's why we call it a feeling, right?
Wouldn't it be better if we spelled them with PH, spelled feeling with PH, just physical response?
Random
tangent.
but seriously, I mean, that's all it is. And I heard Deepak Chopra say that one time. It's just a biological response to a thought. It's how your body internalizes what you're thinking, right? And that feeling itself, I've heard Corinne say, and I'm sure you have too, when you have a thought that creates a feeling, that your brain sends out chemicals into your body that create all these physical sensations. Those chemicals burn off in about 90 seconds. So, but it takes about, 10 minutes for you to actually resolve, for it to completely go away. So what we do is we spiral out in these thoughts and we keep the feelings going, right?
Right.
We keep them, let's just recur the feeling. Let's just bring it up for 10 more minutes, because that's...
I'm going to feel it for 10 minutes anyway. I might as well keep thinking it.
Well, or vice versa.
Right.
If I don't resolve this anger, if I don't really actually feel the anger, if I just eat, let's just cue up the thought again so I can have some eat. Because what your brain is doing is saying, we don't want to feel the anger. We'd rather eat. So the primal brain is like, okay, what's the easiest way to resolve this? Ice cream. That's how we'll protect Joni right now from feeling scared and angry and hurt and indignant and resentful and all the things. Ice cream. It's really your primal brain. I love thinking about how my primal brain is actually taking care of me, mm-hmm. because it's doing exactly what I've taught it to do. So for you, if you don't want to eat, you have to let your primal brain have a conversation with your logical brain. And the logical brain to say, you know what? Of course we're angry. We just ran a half marathon. Of course we're angry. Why not feel this anger? Let's just feel it, the resentment, the everything. Let it be there and then get to work on this cardiologist appointment, because this is how we truly take care of whatever's going on. It could be a monitoring appointment. It could be a treatment appointment. It could lead to things. It could lead to more monitoring. We just don't know until October 19th. Right?
Right.
Now, just as kind of a side note here, let your doctor know that you have this appointment, because if they think it's important enough, They'll get the appointment. They'll get the appointment.
This morning, in the middle of freaking out, I scheduled online an appointment with my primary doctor for 8 o'clock Monday morning.
Yeah, perfect. I say perfect. That's my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter here. You said in the middle of freaking out, though.
Well, in the middle of debating, if I went to the emergency room, I would see a cardiologist right away. Mm-hmm. But there's COVID, and that's not maybe the best option right now. Mm-hmm. So that's where my thought process has been this morning. I want to get it taken care of right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have primal brain going, let's take care of this, call all the people, go to the hospital. And you have logical brain going, it's 2 days. We can see our doctor. We won't have to rehash the entire story. They'll have access mm-hmm. to everything we need. So logical brain is probably the one that had you go online and schedule an appointment for Monday. Mm-hmm. Where primal brain is back here taking care of you going, we're going to die if we don't do this right now. And if we don't do this right now, and we're going to have ice cream. We're going to die and have ice cream.
We're going to die eating the ice cream.
Right. Right. And so just understanding that about your own reactions and about how your brain processes things sort of helps you. And allowing your body to process the emotion along with the thought can actually help you resolve it and bring some more calm to the situation, allow more thoughts to enter in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So the little thought babies that come off of this shouldn't be happening to me, like I just ran a marathon, right? You're probably having a little thought baby that says maybe I shouldn't have.
It's like, why did I put forth all that effort?
Why did you answer whenever you have a question like that? Yeah, you got to answer it. Why did you put forth that?
Well, I ran it because I wanted to prove to myself that I could stick to something long enough to do it.
And did you?
I did.
Yeah. So that's
and it's worth it. And I also want the tattoo.
Right. So you're upright. You ran a marathon. You've lost 100 pounds. I wouldn't attach that to this. I'd say thanks for your input there, but that really has nothing to do with this.
Them are not related.
Right. That's the conversation that you get to open up in your brain when you see it going down roads that are just like, really? Okay, we're going to be afraid because of this, because of the family history. We're not going to be afraid because of things that we have successfully done that have gotten us to where we are today. The ways I have taken care of myself that have gotten me to where I am today.
And I also am trying to tell myself, and that may have postponed this several years.
Right.
From happening much sooner.
Right. So you could actually talk back to your primal brain. Everything I have done has gotten me to the healthy person I am today, to the person with the health I have today. And we're just going to deal with today. You could think about, where would I be if I was 100 pounds more or I hadn't done all this cardiovascular work that got me running a freaking marathon or anything like that. But I don't really know if that's helpful. What you can do is focus on the health you have created today and how you can leverage that into whatever comes out of, the next few months for you. Right?
Right.
And be grateful for the work you have done so that you are able to leverage whatever comes out for you.
Thank you. That's very helpful. You got fuzzy again.
Going to keep you out of the ice cream.
I'm going to try my best to stay out of the ice cream.
What if I'm just going to offer you a thought here. What if you were to say, the best way for me to leverage my health today is to continue on the same path I've been on for the past. How long have you been a member?
Actually, just since June. I lost all my weight doing keto, which is why the ice cream is so enticing right now, I think. Mm-hmm.
So since June, have you kept your weight off doing the doable hunger method and you've been putting it back on?
I've been putting it back on, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Do you make a plan every day?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you assess it every day?
I usually assess it the next morning. Sometimes I don't remember all the details, but I do assess the next morning.
Okay. Are you, Are you sticking to plan?
Yes. I think the breakdown is that I'm not sticking to the hunger scale. I'm overeating.
Okay. So instead of, why don't you try this for the next week or two? Instead of trying to actually nail plus two, plus three, whatever it is you're trying to go for, just ask yourself, have I had enough? Okay. Am I hungry and have I had enough? Corinne is kind of moving to that mm-hmm. language. And the reason I love it is because if you're like me, your brain spins out on, I don't know if this is plus two or plus two and a half or plus three or maybe another bite or plus one or, oh my gosh.
I know I've gone too far when I'm starting to put the decimals in on my hunger scale.
Right, right. So those of us that tend to overthink things like that get hammed up in whether I'm at a plus two. If you ask yourself, have I had enough? It's a yes or no answer. Right? Mm-hmm. And then it takes all that. For those of us who indulge in numbers and decimals and everything, it takes all that drama out of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if you tie, have I had enough to, this is how I take care of myself in preparation for this, then you're likely to see that you're not haven't quit taking care of yourself. You're learning new ways to take care of yourself.
Right.
Okay. So I would definitely think about, am I hungry and have I had enough and is this on my plan? Those three questions are going to be super key for you as you prepare for this, because you have an overarching thought that I need to take care of myself right now. This is how I take care of myself. Okay.
Okay.
Your water and sleep good?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have bipolar, so sleep is my number one priority.
Good.
Water. This is water, 40 ounces. Awesome. I drink these probably four times a day.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Water. I easily hit 120 ounces usually before breakfast.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay.
So yeah, those aren't my issue. I know where the issue is on the, as far as the four basics is that it's the right before bed eating the pint of ice cream. Mm-hmm. After dinner when I'm already at my, I've had enough.
Yeah. So ask yourself, put it on the plan. Is it on the plan? Is the ice cream on the plan?
Yes, the ice cream is on the plan.
So ask yourself, is this what I need right now? Or do I need to journal or to feel my feelings or to experience anger? I would love for you to just turn it loose, to turn anger loose and see what it does for you. You're probably going to cry. You're probably going to pound something. You're probably going to do all the things. But then you know what will happen? You'll stop. You'll stop crying. The anger will come on. It'll come on hard. And then it'll, and you'll feel it. You'll cry. You'll punch a pillow. You'll break something. Who knows? You'll scream. And then it will start to ease off. And then you'll stop crying. And you'll just, be left with just you. That's the beautiful thing about a feeling, is watching it come on and watching it ease off. That way you know that you can handle any feeling, but you have to allow it to come on. I would do this in the shower. It's the best place to be angry, to cry and stuff. It's in the shower because you can visualize, and of course this is a little woo, but I love it. You can visualize the cleansing of the emotion as you're showering. Plus you don't have to wash your face after you cry.
I like that.
Right. Does that help?
That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right. Jennifer, then Lisa.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing? I'm great. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, awesome. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh my golly. Okay. So I was on my walk, so I'm going to try and stand still.
Okay.
I lost about 75 pounds in 2011, 2012.
Okay.
Primarily cooking, calorie counting, mm-hmm. walking.
Mm-hmm.
And after a lifetime of being overweight, I'm 5'2" and I was legitimately 100 pounds overweight. So I did a lot of thought work on my own with Brené Brown books and all kinds of good things. She's found great. You and Corinne. Yeah. I found you and Corinne a couple years ago when I had, just as I had tired of counting calories for 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined April 19 and the thought work has just been awesome. I've changed the way I think about my job and my personal life, and I've had a lot of really lovely things happen. But just even just listening to your last call, I think I've even drilled down further on what I really want to get your help with.
Okay.
So I moved in with my boyfriend. I've never lived with a partner. And I just moved in with him a few months ago, and he said, you know, we're going to get fat. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did do was I did gain 3 or 4 pounds. And I think now in decades of weight, so like my ideal range for myself is the 150s.
Okay.
But I have been in the 160s for a couple of years now. And a few weeks ago, I got to 169 and it was like my hair was on fire. Mm-hmm. So I quick hurried up and lost 4 pounds.
Okay.
And I plan every day and I assess every day. But a few weeks ago, you started talking about, you know, give yourself a little less credit for the plan and the assessment and focus a little more on the plus two, have I had enough?
Mm-hmm.
The thought I've now centered on is I'm a crisis. I'm somebody who lives in crisis. I'm somebody who operates mm-hmm. really well in an emergency, and 169 on the scale was an emergency.
Okay.
And I really just want to be done with this last 10, 12 pounds so that I can focus on other things in my life.
Well, tell me.
But that doesn't seem to be an emergency.
Tell me how saying 169 on the scale is an emergency feels.
How does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah. That's why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you feel scared, what do? You don't go, let's write a plan.
Well, I mean, I was already doing that anyway. Let's follow the plan.
Yeah. No, you're not. When you're scared, you're not, you don't have your best interest in mind.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So this...
Except I
just have to pause because Corinne nails me on this all the time.
Oh, good.
I have thoughts all the time that I think are so motivating and so this is going to get me through. This is an emergency. We can do this. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't. When you're feeling scared and what's another feeling like that? Pressure.
It's an urgent. I have to attend to this.
Urgent,
right? Yes, urgent. Yes.
Your due line isn't all the amazing things. Right? When you're feeling scared and urgent,
mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You're telling yourself all the reasons you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
You're spinning out in all the thoughts. You're probably dredging up the past. Oh, look, I'm gaining my weight again. You might be blaming the partner. Look, he said, we're going to gain weight, and here I go.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what I did was to really dial in and do the things that I was trained to do and haven't been doing.
But you did that from another thought. You didn't do it from scared.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh.
Think about it.
Okay.
You have a thought, 169.
Mm-hmm. Danger zone.
Danger zone, right? And that leads you to scared.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel scared and urgent about anything else, let's say it's about something at work.
Mm-hmm.
right? Scared mm-hmm. and urgent. You start mm-hmm. to spin.
Mm-hmm.
Too. When you're scared, you start to, it does not promote, scared does not promote positive action. Negative feelings are never promote positive action.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling, there's a positive feeling like determined or motivated or aware that promotes positive action.
Yes, I think the next thought after danger zone was, I know what to do.
Right.
And then I start doing it. The issue I'm having is when I get around 164, 163, I'm like, crisis averted.
Yeah. So your next model is, I know what to do. You know, and the feeling is what? Prepared, ready.
I got this.
I got this is, that's another thought, but they lead to feelings like,
in control.
In control, right. Controlled and accomplished, have you watching that hunger scale or hunger method or whatever you want to call it? The writing your plans, doing your basics, right? Then you hit 164 and you have another thought.
Good enough.
This is good enough. Complacent.
Yeah, but I only have that thought after 5 o'clock. Right?
Still a thought that comes up that creates complacent. And when complacent comes in, you kind of relax all the rules. You relax the basics.
Yes.
So what your brain is queuing up to you is so, oh my gosh, it's so common. I mean, if we were all in a room together, I'd go, everybody raise your hand that, that this has happened to you, right? The beautiful thing about our minds is that we have all these thoughts all day long, and we get to choose whether or not we let them get in our T-line, create a feeling, and create an action. You can totally have the thought, this is good enough, and say, no, it's not. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to table that thought because it's 164, and I want the 150s. That's where managing your mind and seeing your thoughts and being really aware of what you're telling yourself becomes so important. Because if you catch that thought and you say, hold on a minute, that's just words in my brain. That's not true. What's true is I like the 150s. My body likes the 150s. 164 is 5 pounds above the 150s. So we're not letting complacent settle in at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and I've really come to own that, and I've really come to own this unhelpful thought that the last 10, the last 20, you know, I worked so hard to get where I am, and to be honest, when I really dialed in and was losing weight, I didn't generate thoughts about it being hard. I really did a lot of my own thought work, like I said, but I just seemed, it's the thought that I often go to is, I seem to like that this is so hard. What am I getting out of the fact that I'm...
I seem to like that this is so hard?
Yeah, I seem to really be... What is the benefit to me keeping this last 10 pounds rather than just do what I know how to do and move on?
So what is the benefit? Answer the question. When you have a crazy question like that, answer the question. Your brain likes to close that loop. So tell me what the answer is.
I'm good at process. I'm good at thinking about this all the time. I've been thinking about this my whole life. I'm an expert at being overweight.
Yeah. Is that what you want to think? Is that how you want to answer that question? No.
No.
Right? That's where you pull the BS light on that one and go, yeah, apparently I did spend some time overweight, but it's not where I want to live, right? It's just another thought. We call them thought errors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, our brain's just thrown up some words that we're used to thinking our entire lives that we realize just aren't helpful anymore. They're unuseful.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we, without judging our brains, when we realize that it just cues up stuff that we're used to thinking that we have now realized are not in our best interest, we just set them, I call it set it on the table. All right. So I spent when I was in my job with the public defenders at the state, I spent a lot of time in the legislature. So I think about in terms of how legislation moves through. You know, it's either approved or it's denied or whatever. But a lot of times it's set on the table, right? You know, I moved to put Bill 492 on the table. And what that means is they set it on the table so that it can be, so it can be pretty much die. So that it won't, you know, so that when the session is over, all the bills on the table, they just weren't acted on.
Okay.
Okay. So if you think about that thought as, you know, creating a bubble around it and setting it on the table, it's still there. It doesn't go anywhere. It's just on the table. It's just not in your model anymore. It's not creating a feeling.
And it doesn't need to be more complicated than that.
Right. It's just something your brain queued up. One of the 60,000 today that your brain's going to queue up. And it queues it up because it's queued it up before. Or it just got super creative today.
Well, and I think, you know, the first thought that popped in my head just now was, well, that's no fun. Which leads me to think that, you know, probably what's missing is fun. You know, I'm not having a lot of fun right now.
Maybe that is
in this world.
Yeah.
And a lot of that isn't in my own control.
Yeah, but a lot of it is. You can create fun. You can decide something is fun any moment. I can decide office hours is like the best part of my day today.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I can decide the work I'm going to do after office hours is as much fun as office hours was. Mm-hmm. Yet I'm in this room, in this, what, probably 10 by 12 room with the door closed with all my people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can decide it's fun, even though I'm at work, in my house, in my little bedroom. So you can decide what's fun and what's not. You've decided a lot of things aren't fun.
Yeah.
Because things aren't fun, your brain's like, eating's fun. How about ice cream? That's fun. You just have to decide whether or not that's what your fun is going to be and whether or not you like the results of the fun. 164, if that creates complacent, then you know that's probably a little bit of a flare that goes up that says, maybe 164 doesn't need to be complacent. Maybe 155 is where I want to be.
Yeah. And I, the other story I've been telling myself is that the margins get so thin at that point for somebody. I'm starting to envision, and I've heard some other people on these calls, like, am I going to be eating a 2-ounce bowl of food? You know, I've really started to tell myself that there won't be enough.
The margins get so thin at that weight. That feels terrible too.
Right.
A lot of brain watching to do, girl.
Yes. All right. Because well, I will.
Is that, I mean, seriously, the margins are too thin. Is that something that you want, to repeat to yourself for the next 30 years?
No, it certainly isn't.
Right.
And I think even academically, I know the solve for it. You know, I do understand all that. It's that I don't take the time to create that next thought.
Academically, is your logical brain does know the solve? You're just letting the reactionary brain, the primal brain, have the last word. Mm-hmm. Give your logical brain the last word in the conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
That's. If you open the conversation between the two brains on the same topic, you let the logical brain have the last word. That primal brain just kind of fades away. Just kind of says, okay, I did my work. We'll let logical brain do the work now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Did that help?
It did. It did. Awesome. And I am excited to watch it again.
Awesome. All right.
All right. See ya. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Lisa? Hi there. Oh, I can't hear you yet. Let's see. See if that helps. Okay, try now. Yeah.
Here we go. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I need help. I've been doing some thought work around this, but I think I need to, I don't know if sometimes I just need to go longer on thinking it before things change for me, or what. So I'll kind of tell you what's happening.
Okay.
So, my husband and I are total opposites, you know, like a lot of.
You're freezing up. I don't know if it's, hopefully it's not me. Somebody in the chat, tell me if it's me freezing or if it's Lisa freezing. Oh, you're back.
Okay.
Okay, it's Lisa. All right, your internet connection's a little weak, so.
Rats.
Okay. All right, so tell me, all I heard was my husband and I are total opposites.
Okay, okay. Can you hear me good now, Kathy?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So he, at times, is very quiet. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of our marriage, and even really up until recently, I would kind of take that as a sign that I did something wrong.
Okay.
And so just recently, I'm kind of coming, you know, and then I would overeat over it, mm-hmm. right? Over mm-hmm. my thoughts over it. I'll say that. And so by doing the discovery worksheets, I kind of realized, and listening to podcasts and things, that that may just be something he does, and it might not have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, over the years, we've been married almost 25 years. Over the years, I've tried to kind of figure it out, and I can't, right? So I have just realized in the last week that it may have nothing to do with me.
That's amazing. Okay.
And that's through doing the discovery worksheets, yes. Right?
Yep. Everybody take note. This is what the discovery worksheet gives you. It gives you patterns. It shows you thoughts, shows you recurring thoughts, right? When you do them over and over. So yes, good work.
Right. And I mean, I have struggled over this, and I've kind of been mad at him when he is silent, mm-hmm. right? And I try to talk to him in a reasonable manner about it, and he doesn't want to talk about it, right, during that time. And so I'm a person, I work things out verbally.
Okay.
And so I'm finding the journaling is really helping me. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday I went out for lunch with my sister, had soup and salad, a great meal. Then we went shopping at the dollar store. I bought an oatmeal pie and ate it in the car. Okay. And so I did my discovery worksheet mm-hmm. this morning, and I uncovered another thought, which kind okay. of makes me a little worried. And it's that I think I overate yesterday because my husband was not happy.
Okay.
So that's kind of worrisome for me, I think. Okay.
Why does that worry you?
I don't know, because I think I have a more stable mood pattern than my husband does. And I don't mean to say like he's a big ogre or anything. He's not. But he processes things internally. Mm-hmm. And I process things externally.
Okay.
So I guess this is the thing. Despite his mood or his period of being silent, which I take as unhappiness, I don't know if he is unhappy or not.
Right.
Right. But I take what am I missing, Kathy?
Well, I keyed in on this thought. I have a more stable mood pattern than my husband has.
Yeah. I kind of think that's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of think that's a thought.
Okay.
So because how does that tell me when you think, when you think I have a more stable mood, what's his name?
Steve.
I have a more stable mood pattern than Steve has. How does that feel? Does that bring up any emotion?
Like Well, I told you before, like at the beginning of our marriage, like he would not talk to me for like 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. And I would be so mad, I would want to choke him, mm-hmm. you know? And now I just kind of am in starting to think, oh, that's just Steve.
Yeah.
I don't like it still.
Because you have a more stable mood pattern than he does.
That might be. That might be. Yeah.
Right. So here's what's going on with you.
Okay.
We have Steve doesn't talk for how many days? What's the most recent one?
I don't know. 3, 4 days.
For 3 days. Okay. That's what's happening in the world. That's what's happening in your world.
Okay.
And you have a lot of thoughts about it. He might not be happy. I did something wrong. I have a more stable mood pattern than he does.
Right.
Okay. So basically you're without talking to him, you're kind of judging how he's showing up in the relationship.
Right.
When he's just being him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So basically your thought is he should process differently. He should do this differently.
You know, and I know that's wrong.
Well,
I mean, I know that's wrong, and that's what I've thought for a long time.
But for 25 years, you've practiced this thought.
Right, right.
Right? So it's going to come up. You can't just turn off a thought you've practiced for 25 years.
Right. So this week when I've been thinking that, then I'll tell myself, no, it probably doesn't have anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Right, right.
Right. So is your feeling, what is your feeling here? Uncomfortable? Something else? Comfortable. When you think all those things, I have a more stable mood pattern. He's not happy. I did something wrong.
Yeah, I think uncomfortable.
Insecure, unhappy.
I think uncomfortable is the right for it, because I guess I'm more verbal and I'm more I'm more comfortable talking through things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when you're uncomfortable about this, what do? Eat. You eat oatmeal pie, right?
Yeah.
What else?
Well, I try to talk to him.
Okay.
I mean, I would say before this week.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to talk to him about it and try mm-hmm. to work it out, mm-hmm. whatever it was, or see if he was unhappy or,
yeah,
you know, see if I could help with anything or.
Okay. Anything else? Do you question yourself a lot?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. Not with other people, I don't think so much.
But with him.
Especially with him, because I want us to have, I don't want us to have anything between us, yeah. Right?
And then you question him. So that's one of, I don't want us to have anything between us is one of these all the thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big one. That's okay. The biggest one maybe.
I don't want anything between us.
And sometimes I'm clueless about that, whatever it is.
All right. So we're going to take out all the thoughts and we're going to say it's, I don't want anything between us. Uncomfortable. Eat, try to talk to him, question myself and question him. So here's what's going on here, Lisa.
Okay.
You think you're uncomfortable because he's not talking. You're really uncomfortable because you have a thought that that you don't want something between us, which indicates that you think that there is something between you. And he's just not talking.
Right.
He's just quiet. I think
there must be.
Right. There must be. There's something going wrong.
Right.
Right. What if there's not? What if he's just quiet? I mean, think about it. 25 years, he goes for periods where he doesn't talk.
Right.
He's still there.
Right.
Right. So what if he just doesn't talk sometimes? Are you willing to stay with Steve even though you know he's not going to talk sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah. Being part of a relationship means accepting your partner as the person that they are. Sometimes he just gets quiet. What your brain does is it spirals out, making it mean that you've done something wrong or that there's something between us.
Yeah.
Because he's not acting like you. Because you are only concentrating on how understanding how you act.
Right.
If you move toward understanding how he acts and what he does, then you become more involved in understanding him as an entire person and loving the person that he is, rather than thinking, if he talked more, I would know things were okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what had me thinking earlier this week, that just might be the way he is.
Yeah.
Like 25-year pattern. Like, and, you know, even before that, even before us, mm-hmm. it was. And so I don't really see that changing. So I wanted, that's why I called today. I want mm-hmm. to change my thoughts about it.
Yeah.
So that, and I have to say the week was easier. Like it's been 4 days today.
Yeah.
The week was easier just telling myself that that might be the way it mm-hmm. is. And he's comfortable with that. And I, you know, I need to become comfortable with that.
Well, and I think you hit on something very important there. He's okay being him. He's still there. He must love you because he hadn't left.
Right, right.
He just gets quiet. He's just a quiet guy. Right?
Yeah.
So when you question him, say, did I do something wrong? Does he respond?
Yeah.
What does he say?
He's like, no.
So why don't you believe him?
I don't know. Sometimes the tone of his voice.
See, and there's another story that you're creating.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
You could, so Steve says no is your C line.
Yeah.
Then you have a thought, well, you know, he might not be telling me the truth.
Yeah. You know, when history comes into this and how, you know, there are times where he has been quiet for a few days and then later he will say, well, I really didn't like this or I really didn't like that. But if I didn't like something he did, I would say, oh, Steve, I don't like that.
Again, two totally different ways of processing. Yeah. He might just be taking a day or two to decide if it's worth even talking about.
Yes, that's so true.
Right?
So true.
So put yourself for a minute, just put yourself in his mind. He's like, I just want peace and harmony in my family and in my marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She asked me, was anything wrong? I said, no. Peace and harmony. After a couple of days, he decides something is important enough to talk about. He talks about it. He's probably fine. Moved on, peace and harmony. While you're over here creating these novellas about why he's not talking and what you could be doing wrong and spinning out on all these stories. When, you know, if you just say, Steve's just a quiet guy. I love him anyway. I love him because, you know, I love the whole of him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm choosing to be here. So basically what you're doing with your thoughts is you're creating your own uncomfortable feelings. He's not doing a bit of this. It's all you. It's all you by how you're thinking about him. But as you said, when you start to think things like, maybe this is just how he is, you feel calmer, right?
That did help this week. It did help. Yeah. I mean, it didn't stop all of my overeats. But really, it was a lot better than in the past.
Right.
Like before, it would have been like 10 different things instead of one.
Right.
So actually, even though I overate, I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, and honestly, that's the little micro wins that you have to recognize as you go through this process. You may have still overeaten, but you may have also started entertaining a new thought that with practice will prevent an overeat.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering initially and why I called or why I raised my hand. because I'm thinking, how long is this going to take to?
Yeah. I mean, we hear that question all the time. Okay. How long is it going to take? You know, there's no answer. I could tell you it's going to take a week or a month or a year, but it depends on you and whether or not you're willing to feel uncomfortable and not eat.
Right.
Because when you tell yourself this is just the way he is, it's not going to feel all lovey-dovey and warm and rainbows and daisies at first. Because you're working your way into accepting the man that he is.
Right.
Now, it's going to take some time practicing the thought, I can love the man that he is and not overeat before you completely, you know, wrap your arms around it. Because you've got 25 years of practicing the old thoughts.
Right.
Now, it's not going to take 25 years if you're diligent in practicing the new ones.
Right.
But just be ready. Your brain, because it's got that thought on repeat, it's got that thought, you know, it's that habit brain has stored it in a really accessible place. It's going to cue it up.
Yeah.
You get to decide in the moment, though, if you're going to eat over it.
Right.
It's just like I was telling the previous person. You can see the thought and set it on the table. See the thought and say, there it is. But you know what? I'm going to ladder that into, I'm working on believing that there's nothing wrong here. Have you done Thought Boot Camp? Have you taken the Thought Boot Camp course?
I haven't, you know, I'm new since the end of June, so I started it, but I'm not through it all.
There's a lesson, I think it's the fourth lesson, called Laddering Thoughts, that would be really helpful to you. It'll show you how to take that one thought, let's say it's, I did something wrong, and how to wiggle your way out of it. It'll, you can add an opener to the thought, like, I'm learning, sometimes I think I did something wrong. Because that feels a little bit different, right?
Right.
It reminds you that it's a thought. And it reminds you that sometimes you think that thought rather than it's not a truth anymore.
You know, one thing I'm realizing too that helps is, you know, I used to, when I was upset about something, talk with my sisters who all, I mean, there are 13 kids in our family, number 11. So, I mean, if I talk to my sisters about it, of course they agree with me.
Sure.
And they would tell me if they didn't agree with me, because we just have that kind of a relationship. They would say, oh no, Lisa, I think you're wrong or something. But the thing is, we're all, we have similar personalities. So they would deal with whatever it is in the same way I would deal with it. So really, that's not helpful to me to even talk with them about it. And I mean, this is what I'm thinking now, Kathy, because they're just going to agree with me. I kind of need the other point of view.
If they're just reinforcing your story, that doesn't help you look for a new story.
That's right.
So I would...
Boot camp might do that.
The other thing that you could consider, I would look at Thought Boot Camp, because you seem to know what the thoughts are that are coming up.
Yeah.
When you're finished with No BS, you could do the relationships course with your husband in mind.
Okay. You know what? And truthfully, like, we have a really good relationship, and this is the one thing that I just... It just bothers me.
So if you could clean all this up, if you could decide Steve's just a quiet guy.
Yeah.
How do you think you would show up differently in your marriage?
Well, during this time, I don't think I'm as nice as I normally am.
Right.
You know, when he's quiet, you know, I would try to adjust and all of that. And then I kind of get to a point where I think, well, forget you, buddy.
Right.
You know? And so I think I would probably be nicer.
Yeah.
During his quiet time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I say, when we first got married, he would be quiet for a week, you know, and then, and now it's shorter periods of time, you know, that he's quiet, but he is like almost silent.
So when he's quiet, if you give him the space to be himself and to do his own internal processing,
right,
without getting angry with him, questioning yourself and all the things.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah. That would be an amazing gift to give him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that help?
It does a lot.
Yeah.
I have to listen to this again.
Listen again. Listen again. Mm-hmm.
So any other thoughts I should add to?
I honestly think you're on the right track with what you're thinking this week.
Okay.
But what I think is super important for you to realize is that two things. The thoughts you've been practicing for 25 years aren't going to go away, but it doesn't mean they're true.
Yeah.
They're just practiced. And the other thing is when you start to wiggle out of them, like maybe he's just this way, like you have this week, right, it's not going to completely change your behavior immediately. You have to keep practicing the thought and disassociating it with food.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have been nicer to him.
Yeah.
During this last.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't been nicer to yourself.
Right.
Not and that's way. Right. But that'll come if you continue to attach thoughts of, I can love him through this, or this is just the way he is. And while he's quiet, I can take care of myself too by managing my own mind. And not eating the oatmeal pies and all the things. Right.
Yeah, I've done a lot more journaling and I've done my calligraphy and things like
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Kathy. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Darla. I think that says Darla. Correct me if I'm wrong. Then Patty. Then Megan. Looks like Megan's after her. Darla.
Hi.
Hi. Let's see if we can get your video started. Did something come up to ask you to start video? Oh, here you
go. Yes. Sorry. hold on 1 second. I don't have my, I need to get my glasses on and, I'm going to apologize. I'm out walking and I think I must've hit the raise the button, you know,
did you not want to be coached?
No, I wasn't looking to get coached right now.
Well, it's up to you. I can either take you back down and you can listen or we can coach on something. What do you want to do?
Well, can you see me now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, maybe this was meant to be.
Okay.
I have been doing a lot of thinking this week. Mm-hmm. It was Thursday was, would have been our daughter's 30th birthday.
Okay.
We lost her about 10 years ago.
Okay.
She battled cancer for about 3 years. She was 19. And one of my journaling that I did a few days back, I actually posted it to the community. Mm-hmm. And with everything that's going on with the pandemic, with the political stuff that's going on, you know, my family is extremely divided. And when I say my family, I'm referring to my parents and my siblings and me. And they're entitled to their opinions. Mm-hmm. They're entitled to, you know, vote for who they want to. I'm entitled to vote for who I want to. And one of the things that, you know, my husband is very outspoken, which is kind of funny because the last gal that was on, we're the flip. I'm the quiet one and my husband's the outspoken one. Mm-hmm. And my husband's not afraid to say what he thinks or what he feels, but he, you know, and he doesn't do it angrily. Well, my husband posted something on Facebook and it royally pissed my sister off. And so she had to post something. And my husband doesn't back down. My husband comes from a long line of family who's been in the law. He's actually his grandmother was the great-great-granddaughter of John Quincy Adams. So that's mm-hmm. being able to debate is like something he can do. But my sister posted something, my husband counteracted her post and debunked mm-hmm. it with okay. actual facts, which pissed my sister off.
Okay.
And she turned around and told him, well, if Trump had been president back when Elise had cancer, she'd still be alive today.
Okay. So we have a conversation between your husband and your sister. And we know the words that were said, and those are your C line. Okay?
Yes.
That's what's happened in the world. So why is this a problem? Why is this making you cry?
I feel like I'm caught in the middle of all of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have a great relationship with my siblings. We've never gotten along.
Okay.
And there's just so much divide in the family. And I don't speak out. It's like, it's, for me, it's not worth it. Right. Mm-hmm. It makes me cry because it was what she said mm-hmm. is not true. It was hurtful. It was vindictive. It was.
So what she said was not hurtful and vindictive. She said words. Okay. The words that came out her mouth are just, to me, they're words because I don't have emotion attached to them because I don't have a thought attached to them. Okay. So your thought of I'm caught in the middle, she shouldn't have said that, you know, whatever it is what's creating a feeling inside of you. And what is that feeling? Anger, resentment, sadness.
It's sadness. Which makes me feel numb.
Okay. So sadness, we'll put sadness down here. And when you're sad, you cry.
Yes.
Right? What else do you do?
I don't eat.
Okay. So you go the opposite. You
yes.
don't eat. Okay.
Nope.
Which is still not great.
Right.
Right. Do you blame her?
No, so do I blame her for what she said, or
do you blame her for making you sad?
You know, I've never really thought about blaming people because it's just not something that I do, because when I was little, I was blamed a lot.
Okay.
And I'm just not doing that to other people.
But you said she shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So maybe you're judging her.
Maybe I'm judging her.
Okay. Okay. So the conversation between your husband and your sister happened, and what she said happened, and then you had a thought about it. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. And then you had a thought about it. I'm caught in the middle. She shouldn't have said that. And you attached a feeling to it. You know, for you, it's sadness and it's grief and it's anger. You know, it's all webbed in there together. And that's why that's why it's so strong. That's why it feels so strong to you. Okay?
Yeah.
Because she said those things and because you had a thought about them. You could have said, "By golly, she's right. What she said is absolutely right." You could have, somebody else might have thought that. And then you would have felt differently, like some other strong emotion, like vindicated or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? But because we add to this C line that happened, you know, the week of her birthday. So obviously your daughter's birthday was on your sister's mind as well. Right?
Yeah.
You felt like you were caught in the middle. She shouldn't have said those things. Probably thought your husband shouldn't have started it. You know, who knows? There's all kinds of conversation going on about it.
And right? I've actually gotten after him about, like, don't argue with my family on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he did stop.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you asked him to do something, he responded. That's a great thing, right? He didn't have to.
No.
He could have continued to get on Facebook and do whatever he was going to do. So that was nice. You told him what your expectation was. You gave him a should, and he responded with, okay, you know, I'll respond to that. Okay?
Oh.
But just know the emotion that you've attached to all this is yours because of a thought that you have. Okay? And that doesn't mean the thought is wrong or bad, or I shouldn't think that. It just goes together with the other thoughts that you have about this week, the other grief that you're feeling about this week. And all of it is totally normal, right? You wouldn't be sad about your daughter's birthday if you didn't love her so much.
Right.
You wouldn't be sad or upset that your sister brought it up if you didn't love your daughter so much, if you didn't miss her. All of those feelings you want to feel because they indicate the love that you have for your daughter. That's what's so important here. What our brains do, what that primal brain of ours does is it really tries hard to protect us. Tries to protect us from feeling, tries to protect us from working too hard. It just goes into super self-protection mode. So when the feelings become too intense, if we can just get angry and start blaming somebody else for making us feel this way or for what they said or what they did, then we feel better because we don't take responsibility for it ourselves. Okay? So if we say, my husband should never have posted, my sister should never have responded, she shouldn't have said those things, then it's all on them.
Right. Yeah.
If we just actually say, you know what? I bet I reacted this way because I'm missing my daughter so much, because I have a lot of thoughts about her leaving me too soon, then we actually have to feel that sadness and that grief. And feeling that sadness and that grief, all that means is that you love her and you miss her. There's an amazing call that Corinne did with Krista St. Germain. Did you listen to it?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I would listen to that again because It was incredible. I mean, it was so good. I have goosebumps just thinking about it. So for anybody who's on here that doesn't know, Krista St. Germain is a master coach from the Life Coach School, just like Corinne, who specializes in grief. She, I think her podcast is the Widowed Mom podcast, but she does all kinds of grief work with all kinds of people. And it was very enlightening to me to hear her talk about honoring feelings as a whole, anger, sadness, grief, resentment, all of those things that we feel when we lose somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm go ahead.
I'll go back and listen to that one again, because I was on the call. I did listen to that.
I'm betting that if this conversation had happened and she hadn't brought up your daughter, you wouldn't have attached grief and sadness and to it. You might have been a little angry. You know, look, y'all, can we act like grownups? Might have been the response rather than I'm caught in the middle or this shouldn't have happened. You see what I'm saying? But what happened is a layer of grief got added onto it to you. For you. And right. It just brought it to the surface a little bit more.
Yeah.
That sound about right?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, especially this time of year.
Yeah. So I want to offer you this. I can never remember how many years it's been, but I lost my dad Thanksgiving weekend. 4 or 5 years ago, I think. It seems like it was yesterday, right? And for you, losing your daughter, it seems like it was yesterday, especially when all the emotions come up. I remind myself that I don't miss him any more on November 29th than I do any other day of the year. Because I allow myself to miss him every day of the year. I don't attach my grief to a date or a time or a season. Or a holiday. It just happened that weekend.
Right.
So if you think, what's her name? What's your daughter's name?
Elise.
So if you think about Elise every day, which you probably do, and you allow yourself to love her and miss her every single day, then her birthday or the date she died or a season or a holiday, you don't miss them any more on those days than you do every other day. Because you're allowing yourself to feel on all the other days.
Ah. That makes sense.
It does make sense. Because you don't, I mean, think about it. You don't love her any more on her birthday than you do on any other day. Right?
No. You're right. I don't.
Does that help?
It does. And just getting it out helps too.
Yeah. You know why? Because you felt it.
Yeah.
You feel a feeling and you allow yourself to cry and you allow yourself to feel it. When the feeling begins to recede a little bit, there is a calming effect.
Right.
Right? As many times as you have cried, you've stopped crying.
Yeah. Try to get my husband to understand that. Why are you crying? I'll never get him to understand.
He doesn't have to. All you have to do is give yourself the compassion to understand it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he processes just like Lisa. Your husband processes it differently. And that's okay. You can let him do that.
Yeah.
And you can, while you process the way you do, he can process the way he does.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm glad you raised your hand. I hope you are too.
Yeah. I mean, it was meant to be.
Yeah. Probably so. Things usually work out the way they're supposed to.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Patty? Using the heck out of my board today. Let's see, Patty. Are you there?
I'm not sideways. I'll turn it this way. Maybe that will help. There you go. It's my first call with you ever, so.
Hello.
My hand has been up and down. My hand has been up and down throughout this call, so.
Okay.
Because I would lose my courage.
Oh, well. Now you're here. What you want to talk about?
So I'm on my second year in the tribe, and that last call did it for me. There's some commonality. But I'm on my second year in the tribe, and the first year I lost like 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm dealing with a lot of uncertainty health-wise, and I actually have a cancer diagnosis that I've had for about 3 years. Okay. So it's not anything new, and I joined the tribe after the diagnosis. So I've had my success while I've been dealing with that at the same time.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm stalled, and I've gained back about 15, 20 pounds that I just keep kind of playing with. Mm-hmm. And I know what it is. My cancer is back and forth, and my treatments don't always work.
Okay.
So we're trying some new things. I have really good providers at Johns Hopkins, so I'm with the best, I feel. And I'm getting ready to – I've been blessed with a clinical trial.
Okay.
That my doctor feels is like the best way to go right now before we have to do lots or other invasive stuff.
Okay.
So I'm very blessed in that way. And I know that. And I do a lot of thought work around, oh goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
How lucky I am to have that.
Okay.
And I do a lot of talking to my body about, I know it can heal itself.
Mm-hmm. All amazing.
And I write a plan most every day. But I feel this intense pressure to get this weight off quickly because I feel like that might help me.
Okay.
So I think in putting that pressure on myself, and especially since I've gained a little bit back, I just spin my wheels. I mean, okay. I write my plan, I follow it all day, and then 8 o'clock at night comes, and Kathy, it is shitstorm city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the emotions come in. You know, I've got kids, I've got this, I've got that. Yeah. And I can't get past it.
Yeah. And that's because of the feeling of pressured.
Yes, okay. I think you're right.
That internal feeling, it's just like I was talking earlier in the call. When you have a feeling that creates all kind of tension and pressure and whatnot in your body, it's not going to create actions that you want.
No, it doesn't.
Right. What creates the actions that you want are feelings that promote those actions, like prepared, ready, motivated, determined. If you were to swap this pressured for determined, they probably feel very similar in your body, but they have very different results attached to them.
Okay.
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 This thought, I need to lose this quickly, leads to pressured.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? A thought more like, I know what it takes to take care of my body through this, might feel more determined or something like that. Just a little bit of a thought switch. Okay. So the pressured thought, this is so interesting. I just keep going to thought back to Thought Boot Camp because I think Corinne was a genius when she came up with this concept of the thought babies. I need to lose this quickly is your belief that is having thought babies all day long.
Yeah.
Kids, I'm in this clinical trial. It'll help my health. It'll do all these things. And all of those thoughts are little subtle aggressions that make you feel even more pressured.
Yes. Oh my God.
Right? Yeah. Yes. So those are the ones that, you know, instead of going after this one, sometimes you go after the easy ones. The low-hanging fruit are the thought babies. I've got the kids. Yeah, I do. I have the kids, and I'm showing up today for them.
Okay.
I've got the cancer diagnosis. Yes, I do. And I'm really happy with what my treatment plan is right now. I'm blessed to have this treatment plan. Those are your words.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
What was another one of the thought babies? You said the kids.
I'm stalled. And the uncertainty. The uncertainty.
Okay. I'm stalled, but I've lost this before. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I bet you know why you're stalled.
Oh, Lord. Probably, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know, and I can't face it. I mean, it's just all...
Why can't you face it?
I think because of the type of diagnosis, you know, none of us know when we're going to leave this planet. We really don't. And it's exactly. Already been 3 years, mm-hmm. and I've done okay. Mm-hmm. But that just creeps in constantly because the type of cancer I have isn't curable. So we just mm-hmm. manage it.
Right.
And I have a friend that has a cancer that she's just managing it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people in this world managing cancer. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, I just had all my appointments and the news wasn't good. And then the doctor came back with, we're going to do this trial and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, it just slaps you in the face. I mean, and it takes you a minute to like, okay, you know, and get over that. Mm-hmm. But then because I eat as a result of that kind of right. news, I guess, or pressure, stress, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I don't get anywhere with my weight loss. And right. so mentally I'm not enjoying my life like I should be. I don't enjoy my kids.
Right. Because you're eating to buffer
yes.
out
yes.
life.
Hell right? yeah.
So with life, for Patty, comes a little bit of uncertainty, right. comes a little bit of fear, but it also comes love from your family.
Absolutely.
Blessings for your treatment plan, feelings of being blessed by your treatment yes. plan. But when yes. you eat, you're not just buffering from the negative stuff. You're buffering from life.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right? So if you pause the model at whatever you're feeling and allow yourself to feel those things, all of them, and say, you know, I've got a cancer diagnosis, being a little uncertain, a little scared might be normal.
Right.
But I can feel that along with feeling blessed that I have today and tomorrow and a treatment plan and a family.
Yeah.
Right. If you feel, oh my gosh, this seems like the theme of this call. If you feel your feelings, if you honor them and allow them to be there, then you don't have to run away from them with ice cream and oatmeal pies and whatever it is. What we've got popcorn. Ice cream and oatmeal pies, popcorn. Ice cream, oatmeal pies, and popcorn. We've got a plethora of choices yes. on this call today, right?
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff. But you see what I'm saying? When you're eating, you're also not feeling blessed. And you're also not feeling love. And you're also not feeling determined. Right?
I love that. I love that word.
Yeah. But you're letting pressured. You know, one, pressured or uncertain. Two feelings, you're letting them run the show rather than allowing yourself to feel all of them.
Okay. That okay. makes sense. Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack in this call. So the replay is going to be really good, yeah. but I think that's right.
I love the way you talk to yourself in the moments, you know, where you can actually create this feeling of blessed. I lost you. There you are. But when the other thoughts come in, you need to allow those too. And say, of course I feel uncertain. It's okay to feel uncertain. And you even told me none of us have certainty. Right?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, just having that conversation, allowing yourself to have that conversation, to journal about
it. Sorry, I was just plugging my phone back.
That's all right. To feel everything, then, you know, you take one day at a time and you react to one thought at a time rather than trying to predict. I heard somebody, I wish I could remember how they called what they called it. It was better than disaster planning. It was more like, I don't know. You know, you can't predict the future, but what you can control every minute of every day is whether or not you eat and whether or not you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So that's what your work is. Allow yourself to feel it all.
Okay.
And then make a decision at the end of the day. You know, this, what ultimately am I going to bed with here? Am I going to bed with uncertain? Am I going to bed with love? Am I going to bed with pressured? Am I going to bed with blessed? You get to choose.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all you.
Okay.
All you. That's why Corinne has focused. That's why Corinne has focused the model down to think, feel, do. It's because those lines are 100% our choices all the time. And that's pretty empowering. You can add, look, you can add empowering to your list of feelings. Empowering.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Does that help?
Okay. It's helped a lot. It's helped a lot. Yeah, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let us know how you are. Okay.
I will. Thank you. All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Megan. And then Karen. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm here, so going about that well. I'm a hot mess.
What's wrong? What's up?
I'm really overwhelmed right now. Okay. I'm sitting in a lot of just shitty diaper stuff. School starts Monday. Mm-hmm. And my son's going into first grade, and we're going to be, our district is fully virtual. Mm-hmm. Spring was really hard. He came home in March and never went back. Just like, you know, mm-hmm. every other kid. And our learning plan in the spring was really challenging. I work full time, and now I work full time from home. Mm-hmm. My husband also works full time now from home. And our childcare, has fallen apart. So, there's other stuff there too. It's like, I was, you know, talking with my accountability groups, and it's like, I just have all these circumstances, which I know is a thought too, but it's just, this stuff feels like it's like piling up. Mm-hmm. So, my mother-in-law has watched our kids since my son was born 6.5 years ago. And, we're having some issues with kind of relationship stuff with her, and we're not seeing her anymore. So, she had been helping a lot with school, but also was a contributing factor to it not going very well. We just didn't have the same approach, and it just wasn't productive. So we kind of had another falling out this week and gearing up for school to start and work ramping up pretty heavily on my work. My husband's company is talking about layoffs, and we're not really sure what's happening there. So, and he's working very, very hard. He doesn't know how not to work hard, and we don't see him much during the day. So it also feels very heavy on me. And I am working very hard not to begrudge him that, because I know it's very, very important and we're keeping this job, you know, but, there's just a lot on the plate, and it feels really heavy, and I'm just eating through it. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not showing up the way I want to for my health. I'm not showing up the way I want to for my kids. I've been really impatient with them. we've been trying to ease back into kind of school stuff so that it wasn't a really abrupt start for us next week. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I have a very resistant 6-year-old who would rather play Minecraft all day. So,
well, yeah, course, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a lot more fun than reading in math, but, I would prefer to play games all day too, but,
yeah.
So just trying to get through it, and it's usually a lot of white knuckling, and I'll be good for a couple days in terms of the plan and everything else, and then it just blows up. So okay. Here I am.
All right. So before we go much further, I want
just barfed all of that.
No, that's okay. I wanted to remind you, and somebody posted this in the chat, you need to listen to the Lisa Smith calls.
I haven't been able to come on the calls because they happen in the middle of kind of our busy family
evening. So they're in the podcast. Last week's was...
That's one of the reasons I came on today, because I wasn't able to get on this last week. So
yeah, last week's was what to do when the kids have a meltdown about going back to school. Okay.
He's not melting down. No. I'm melting down.
Right. He's like not, going, he's but he might. He'd rather play Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
This week's is sharing space at home while you work in the kids' homeschool. How to manage all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then let's see what September 2nd is, fear and parenting. And it's that's more geared about, okay, school's open. Let's get everybody back together now, even though we have,
I was there. Where I was during July camp, because we didn't have our plan yet. And we weren't feeling really good about going back to school. Yeah. And now, so this is kind of, in a sense, we got what we wanted, because we weren't comfortable with going back to school yet. And because we're having also a pretty significant surge in St. Louis. And
so those calls are going to help you with those specific issues. Okay. So if you can make time to listen to them or be on them, I think you would, that would super benefit you honing in on those particular issues. What I think you and I need to coach on is overwhelm. Okay. Because your brain is like firing up everything. Yeah.
Like I've been clocking like 10 page TDLs this week, just because I'm spinning out. So
yeah.
I'm not even to a point where I can really effectively run any models, and I'm spinning out.
We have school starting. We have Megan working. We have husband working. What's his name?
Kenny?
That should be easy to remember for me, right?
Yeah. He's my Ken.
He's your Ken. And we have mother-in-law not doing daycare.
Right.
Right? Those are the facts that we've got going on. So for everyone on this call, tell me how you get out of overwhelm. Tell me what the...
By doing something, action, like finding the next step.
Right.
One thing.
By figuring out that one next step and actually doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, what's your son's name?
Calvin.
Calvin. When it comes to Calvin going to school next week.
What's in my living room.
In your living room. That's right.
Yes.
What's one thing you can do?
We are going to spend some time this weekend setting up his space. So he has his own little desk space, and we're going to go through his, we did supplies pickup last week. So we're going to set his little space.
So you're going to set up his space. You're going to make such a big hairy deal about how special that is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
About how.
Yeah, we're going to try.
I don't know what my daughter-in-law did, but I have a first grade granddaughter and a kindergarten granddaughter.
He's starting first grade.
Yeah. And they go to some homeschool hybrid where it's like one day in the class and the rest of the week is homeschooled, except it's all virtual now too. Mm-hmm. Those girls have worn their uniforms every single day of the week because they're
we're going to get dressed. They've recommended that we like get dressed and stuff. And he's going to be on Zoom calls most of the day on Monday.
Yeah. So, look, technology, Calvin.
I know.
How cool is this, right?
It's like everybody gets their own conference call.
Right. So you're going to set up his space and you're going to talk up school. You're going to get dressed and all the things. So when it comes to Megan working while he's going to school, what's one thing you can do to make sure your work is taken care of as well as Calvin?
I started trying to block his time, he's got 4 different Zoom calls on Monday. I've been trying to block those on my work calendar so that I can work just time blocking in general. Just where I'm in the middle of a pretty big project launch for over the next 6 months. And so just trying to block time for all the things.
Okay. Does that feel good when you block time? Does that feel good to you? Does it show you where your time, where you can find time efficiencies, or does it overwhelm you?
When I'm managing my mind, it feels good. But when I'm overwhelmed, it feels like there's just a whole bunch of shit to do.
Okay. So the thought is there's a whole bunch of shit to do, overwhelm. Mm-hmm. So when you're managing your mind, what are you telling yourself?
This is how I just get one thing done at a time. This is how I make sure that I have time for everything.
So this is how I make sure I have time for everything. Probably doesn't feel good. I can do one thing at a time, right? This is how I create all the time I need, right? Pie in the sky, right? But this is how I take care of Calvin and work. Even if it's working at 8 o'clock at night after Calvin goes to bed.
I'm working different. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how I manage life right now. And that's, it has to be okay. You have to decide it's okay because project and Calvin, both important, both things you want to do, right? So time blocking can feel really good. To me, it feels amazing. Okay. I love it. I love looking at my calendar and knowing what I'm working on when. It's almost like food planning, right? Prep for the week, done. Yes. No decisions to be made. It's 12 o'clock, chili today.
Yes.
That's what we're having. Because it's already made.
But then you can't just snooze your time blocks and then they pile up for 2 days.
Right.
You actually have to do the things in the time block.
That's called managing your mind and managing your time, right?
I've just been pushing stuff. It's like just pushing everything around. And that's
what overwhelm is doing to you. Yes. I can't get it all done. Overwhelm. Don't do anything. Reschedule time. Push my time around. Hit the snooze button. Cry, eat, right? There's no good action. Right. There's no good action after overwhelm. But once you decide, all right, I got some time blocks here. I'm going to see if they work. And I'm going to revisit them for Tuesday if they don't work. Right.
Okay.
If you create a thought that has you controlling your time blocks rather than your time blocks controlling you, then you're willing to try something new and see if it works. Figure it out.
That's where I am when I'm in the office. I'm a trainer for my team and I coach on that.
Yeah.
Train people to do that. So it's like you run your day, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I'm just letting it run all over me right now.
Yeah. So you're letting the primal brain, the one that's really super nervous, you're letting it end the conversation. So train thyself.
I have a lot of,
Right?
Yes.
So for this it's time blocking. Okay. Basically, managing your mind around your time blocking. When it comes to your husband, is there anything you can do for him or about that thought to take it out of overwhelm? Or is this just going to have to kind of...
He's doing the best he can.
Yeah. So. You have to trust him?
Yeah, I do. And I part of my... I wish I could take some of this away from him, off of him, but he has to do his thing. So
maybe
I know he's struggling with his mom and he's struggling with work and I hate it for him.
Right.
So.
Right. But you going into overwhelm and eating over it doesn't help him. Trusting him and loving him and supporting him and managing yourself so that he doesn't worry about you too. Is what helps him. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's also why I'm just trying to do I've got the kids, I can do all this other stuff so that he can focus on what he needs to do. with his work situation right now, but then it just feels like a lot to do. So
what if it is a lot?
And he's,
can you do it? Let's say it is a lot.
I am doing it. I don't know if I'm doing it very well, but I am. It just feels
You're doing it. But you're the one judging whether or not you're doing it well. It's getting done.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's not a lot of parenting advice about pandemics, as it turns out. So we're figuring it out.
Except for Lisa Smith, right?
We're like, you know, exactly. We're just like flying in on two wheels, it feels like. But
see, that's a thought that doesn't help you. We're flying in on two wheels.
I know. It just feels messy. So
it feels so much better to say.
I like order and control. Yeah.
Well, and you can figure out order and control, but it might take a minute. It might take actually starting school, developing a schedule, trying things, seeing that they work, seeing that they don't work, and adjusting, just like weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It might be giving yourself the grace to figure it out as you go. I bet by the end of the week or the beginning of next week or even a couple weeks out, you've got a rhythm. But you're not going to find a rhythm if you're spinning out in overwhelm. You're not going to look for a rhythm if you're spinning out in overwhelm. You just got to be willing to, all right, here's the schedule. It's what we're giving it our best shot today. We're going to stick to schedule, and then we're going to reevaluate. We're going to assess, and then we're going to make a plan for the next day. It's just like your 24-hour doable plan. This is your 24-hour time plan. We're going to assess, and then we're going to adjust. And that's what it comes down to. Assess and adjust. And making it doable. Isn't it funny how the four basics translate to just about everything?
Yeah. I'm not always good at doable. I tend to, I just finished one-on-one coaching with Betsy, and we had to dial me back quite a bit. Usually my 1%s were not usually just 1%. I want to do all the things immediately. So that contributes to the feeling of chaos.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. 1%, a 1% shift forward is all you need at any moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so the husband and the mother-in-law, they kind of had to take care of themselves. You probably just need to get out of the way there and love him and support him and try to minimize the worry about it. Just check in with him, because worry takes a lot of energy that you could be spending on these things.
Yeah.
It's a lot of brain
space. She's not going to change. So we have a lot of worry over her mental health right now. But we're at a point where we can't do anything. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd do. I'd focus on these two
things. The other one just came upstairs. I'm right here. I'm here, honey. Yeah, come here. Why not? Or not. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Just work on what you can control.
Yeah.
What you can create certainty around. Because these two, his job and your mother-in-law, you can't create any certainty there.
No.
One day at a time. All you can do is adjust if and when anything happens. And then that goes back to time blocking, assessing, and adjusting anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. We'll work on it.
Watch your tendency to spin out and catch it. Here I go. Okay. Here I go. I'm spinning out. What can I control right now? Right? What one step can I take right now?
Okay.
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 All right. Yeah. Listen to Lisa Smith's calls. You might get
some. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to listen live, but I will have those. The ones that she's done so far, I'll catch up with this week. So
absolutely. Okay. Good luck.
Okay.
Good Thank to see you. You. All right.
Thank Bye. You. Bye.
Karen, let's do you real quick. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
It's my first coaching call. I'm really, really nervous.
Oh, gosh. It's just me, Karen.
I know, and a thousand other people listening.
Actually, it's not. It's not a thousand.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I probably should just do a one-on-one coaching call because this is there's a lot to my situation here. So my husband and I are having some pretty major problems.
Okay.
We've been married for almost 31 years, and we've been separated a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And let me just give you some background. Five and a half years ago, I took a promotion 2.5 hours away from home. And I moved halfway across the state in New York. I work at Niagara Falls State Park. And I bought a house out here. So in 3 weeks, I am going to retire. I've got my 34 years in. I'll be 55 and I'm going to retire. But my husband and I are having some major problems. And I know it's all the thought work. But now my brain is in the shitter again on what am I going to do? Should I stay with him? Should I go with him? Should I go back? He's an alcoholic. He's turned into an alcoholic in the last few years. Never used to drink, but now he does. And he's just got a lot of emotional problems that he doesn't want to face and deal with.
So what do you want to coach on, the job or the husband?
The husband.
Okay.
No, I know I'm retiring and I'm happy about that. But
okay. So you've made that decision. So whenever your brain shoots up a question about it, say, no, the decision's made. Next.
Oh, yeah. That decision was made when I was in my 20s.
So. Yeah. Well, but you questioned it for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, right? I could not retire, but I know I am retiring. I've already filed my papers, my last.
So when the question comes up again, just answer it. Nope. Retiring. Moving on. Yes. All right. So about the husband.
Yes, so he has a lot of depression, emotional problems, and now he's drinking. Mm-hmm. He smokes a lot of pot. Mm-hmm. I love him to death, but he's got all these problems. And then, you know, things are okay as long as everything is perfect. But, you know, like a few weeks ago, he was here because we've been back and forth. You know, I scolded him for getting some dirt on my new chair, and he went in the shitter and 4 days of depression, won't talk to me. It's just not good. He needs therapy, and he won't get it, and he won't get any help for his drinking. And
okay. Do you have a lot of thoughts about your husband?
Oh, yeah.
That create what kind of feeling? Uncertainty?
Uncertainty, fear.
Fear?
You know,
And uncertainty and fear leave you in indecision and spinning out as your actions, your do line. Indecision, spinning out, which isn't a lot of doing, right?
Right. Should I go back there? Should I try to find another place to live?
Lots of questions.
What about all of our travel plans that I've dreamed about my whole life? Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Are you going to stay with him? Do you want to stay with him?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to fix the problems.
Okay. So that decision is made. Should I go back there was one of your questions. Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
Yes.
Yes.
But then I have doubts that I'm making the right decision.
Okay. So you go back there and you change your mind. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Nothing. What you're doing is you're spinning out on a lot of questions that you're not answering. When you know basically what you want to stay with him. You want to help him work it out. You want to move back home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm not at fault because I get really upset and then I say, well, we might as well just get divorced, you know, and then I regret saying that.
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, you know, you've already made your decisions.
Right.
And that's what you have to, every time you start to spin out, you have to answer your questions. You know, when you say, what about, you know, should I move home? The answer is yes, because you've already decided you're going to move home. Should I retire? Yeah, I've already decided I'm going to retire. Should I divorce him? No, I've decided I want to stay with him. I want to see if we can work this out. You're just indulging in the questions without reminding yourself you've already made the answers. You've already decided on the answers. That's what I see in you, specifically you and how you're handling these decisions in your life. Could we coach on relationships? Sure. Or I could send you to the relationships course.
I took it a long time ago, but I have to take the new one.
I might take that new one again, just so you can understand your relationship with him better. But I think you also probably more primarily need to focus on the spinning out and the relationship you have with yourself and trusting yourself that you'll make a decision and then you can see if it works out or not. That's a beautiful thing. Okay. You can make a decision. I'm going to stay with him. All right. You could go home. Everything is amazing. He goes to therapy. He quits drinking. He does all the things. Life is good. You could go home and nothing changes. And then you might have another decision to make. What should I do next? It sounds like you're good at making decisions. You're not great at remembering that you've made them.
Sometimes I make decisions way too fast without thinking. I do that.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think you get to decide because you can always change your mind. However, you don't want to change your mind and spin. So I'll give you an example. Corinne makes many decisions about the business and about us as team members. And things start to go into motion and she redirects us or she redirects something. We had this amazing content plan for the spring. I don't even remember what it was now, but February, we're going to do this. March, we're going to do this. April, we're going to do that. June, I skipped May, but you get the point, right? Then COVID hit. Okay. She made a decision about content and about what the membership was going to work on. But then something happened that created an opportunity for her to make a new decision. And she shifted the business and she started developing COVID resources. She started developing diversity resources. She started doing all these things in response to what was going on around her and what people needed. That's what I see in you with your husband here. You make that first decision, and then if you need to shift and pivot, you do it. But you do it from a place, not from a place of, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if this is what I want to do. You do it from a place of, this is the right decision to make at this time. Okay. And trusting yourself to make the right decision.
Okay, so, and I do struggle with the thought work and the TDLs. I've got to get my accountability group has offered to help me figure those out. Yeah. But one of our major problems is when I get upset, I shoot off at the mouth, and I would really, it's one of the things I've been working on to try to not do, because that puts him in a tailspin. So how can I step back and not say the first thing that comes to my mouth, which is going to hurt his feelings and cause all these problems? And
okay, so thought work teaches us that you don't hurt his feelings. You say words that he interprets in a thought that create his feelings. Does that mean you shouldn't talk ugly to him? No. Right? But in order to create that pause, you have to start practicing a pause. When you get upset, you have to find some way to insert a pause to blow off steam or to journal or to calm yourself down or to not spout off the first thing. You just have to feel angry for a minute or upset for a minute and not react immediately. So figure out a way to create a pause, whether it's, I'm taking 10 minutes, I'll be right back, or you go for a walk around the house, or you sit down and you journal for 10 minutes about why you're angry, or whatever it is, you have to insert something between the feeling and the action.
Okay.
What we call creating a pause. Just try something. If it works, great. If it doesn't, try something else.
Okay.
We're back to make a decision. This is what I'm going to do. If that doesn't work, we'll just shift and make a new decision.
Okay.
That's also managing your mind, basically, is allowing yourself to feel, because you've had a thought, he shouldn't have said that, or he shouldn't have done that, or something like that, that creates anger. And when you take that pause and you feel that anger, you realize it's because, not because of what he did, but because of what you thought about what he did.
Right.
Okay. And if you can change that thought to, of course he did that, he's not well right now, or he's, you know, whatever, if you give yourself that pause, then it kind of takes the steam out of the anger.
Okay.
I've chosen to stay with him so I can choose to manage my mind around anger and upset. Something like that. Does that help?
It helps, definitely. And I am going to redo the relationship course.
Yeah, that would be good. It might.
Keep at it.
What it will do is it will help you focus in on how you show up and take the focus off of how he shows up. Because that's ultimately what you can control in the relationship is what Karen brings to the relationship and what your thoughts are about him and about the relationship. So doing that between now and when you retire and move home might be a really good thing for you. And feel free to come back on one of these calls. In fact, here we go, shameless plug, right? If you do some of that this weekend, I'm doing a relationships call on Monday night.
Oh, okay. I'll put that on my calendar.
Yeah. So, you know, if you do some of that relationships course and you find that you get stuck or you have questions or whatever, just come back to the Monday night call.
Okay. For sure. That helps.
All right. Well, good luck. Okay.
Thanks, Kathy. Really
I know how exciting it is to retire from government service.
3 more weeks I got.
Congratulations.
And then I'll be on a beach in North Carolina or South Carolina for a week with my sisters and a couple friends. So
that's
COVID amazing. Or not, we're going on vacation.
Good for you. Just stay all safe. Right. Okay.
I will. Thank you Bye-bye. So much. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's hit these questions real quick. Then we'll get out of here. Good morning, Becky Lane. Okay, Patricia says, after listening to some recent podcasts with you and Corinne, I'm trying to switch my thoughts from being a worried mama. I just always have this nagging worry that something will happen to my kids. They're currently 13 and 16. I thought this was normal, and now I know this is a thought I can work on. My first latter thought was, of course, I worry about them. Mm-hmm. But still had a negative feeling for me. The new latter thought I came up with is, of course, I want my kids to be safe and I continue to teach them ways to keep themselves safe. Does that sound like a good thought, latter thought in this situation? Patricia, I'm going to tell you that it sounds like a good thought if you think it's a good thought. So here's what I know. Sometimes your ladder is going to have a lot of rungs. All right. You're going to stop at the bottom. You're going to start, you know, with your bottom thought, with the thought you want to work on. And you might have to ladder it up a few times before you get to the ideal thought. Okay? Each time you ladder up, your feeling may improve a little bit, but it may not go directly to, oh, the worry's gone. It might go from terrified to scared or worried to concerned. You see what I'm saying? So you're laddering up the thought, but you're also laddering up the feeling at the same time. It's not going to go from worried to not worried. So if you're laddering to, of course I worry about them, you've given yourself the grace to realize that that's your pattern. You could say, sometimes I think I'm really worried about them, or I'm open to I'm open to learning about how much I worry about them. It can be just a little bitty step up that creates a little bit of a feelings upgrade as well. Does that make sense, Patricia? Are you still here? Does that help? So when you ask me my opinion about your thought, I can say, yeah, it sounds great, but I'm not the one thinking it and it's not creating a feeling for me. You have to watch how you feel and decide whether or not that's a good ladder up for you. Okay, she says, yes, it does help. All right, let's run through really quick what's going on for the next few days. So tomorrow, let's see. All right, tomorrow is August 23rd, Sunday. Office hours, open coaching is going to be with Betsy tomorrow. And then the mentors, you guys have a call at 2 p.m. Then I've already mentioned Monday the 24th, relationships with me at 5 p.m. Then Tuesday the 25th, I'm back again. And I have the coolest thing to teach you all. in the Practice Versus Do Thought Bootcamp Q&A. I'm so super excited about it. It's going to be three things you get to do with Old Shitty. It's going to be good. And then the 26th is Wednesday. Corinne is back for coaching with the PNP 100 subgroup members. And of course, we have Lisa Smith again Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. on sharing space at home while you work in the kids' homeschool. Then office hours is back on Thursday with Coach MJ. And then next Saturday, Corinne's Q&A is back in the Facebook group. That's it. You guys have a, well, you know what? There is one more thing. And I'll mention this and get Betsy to mention it next week. Starting August 30th, which is, I don't know, 8 days from now, the coaches are doing a 21-day Facebook challenge. So we are going to be in Facebook every day, teaching a little bit about how we live life, how we apply the basics, just doing basically a quick Facebook Live each day starting August 30th, which is going to be super fun for us. And you'll get to know us a little bit better. We'll answer some questions and, you know, it'll just be fun. It'll be fun. All right. Okay, you guys, have a great Saturday. Thanks for coming to the call. And I will see you on Monday for relationships. Bye.